And join me in a prayer, please, if you will. Heavenly Father, please guide my words that I might speak your truth. And guide and direct all our hearts that we might hear and understand your truth. And we ask this for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first thing to tell you is that about 2 weeks ago, when I read through what has been set down in the lectionary, that's the book that decides what we're going to preach on every Sunday, the designated Bible reading for this Sunday, when I read it, Nigel was not a happy bunny. I'm not a bunny at all, but I wasn't a happy one if I was. I felt a bit like Jonah when he was told to go to Nineveh, because I was being told to preach on this reading. And if you remember, Jonah was so unhappy, he just didn't want to go there. So instead he did a runner. He legged it in the opposite direction. And the rest, as they say, is history. However, I resisted the temptation to pull a sickie and leaving Nadesha in the lurch. But instead I decided at least to try to man up and face head on this account of Jesus' advice to any would-be followers, and especially how it should impact us as God's people here in Stoke Poges. So what was it in this passage from Luke that troubled me and challenged me? Well, to be precise, it was just two short verses, number 26 and 27. Words spoken by another than the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. So they need to be heeded. And he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And that's what troubled me. And as you think about it, this one, you heard it read and you're looking at your sheets now, I suspect you're also feeling a bit uneasy. Because what it appears to be saying is that to be a true follower of Jesus, we've got to hate our family and friends. Surely not. Now, I don't want to try and wriggle out of these words, this directive from Jesus. If he said it, he means it. But I do think there needs to be some explanation of the apparent contradiction with what he said and the conduct of Jesus himself. Just remember that as he hung on that cross paying for your and my sins, he, despite the horrendous agony he must have been suffering, despite that, he could still think of his earthly mother Mary and commit her into the care of one of his disciples with the words, woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, here is your mother. So what these verses are saying is we need to get our priorities right. Nothing must be allowed to come or stand between us and our Father in heaven. Nothing can come in between. Maybe some of you will remember Harry Latham's little saying, which he quoted on more than one occasion. Our priorities should be God first, then family, then church. And I, for one, am happy to say, yes, I agree with that. I think what Jesus was emphasizing here is the enormous gap between these priorities. Of course God is first, really first. First by a very, very long country mile. And if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we were reminded that the very first commandment given to Moses was to love the Lord thy God with every fiber of our being. God first, without a doubt. And you know, we know with absolute certainty that God always gets things right. And because God is perfect love, it follows therefore that if we truly love God with our all and above all, then that love will cascade down to our family and friends and everyone else. So at least if we do that on this occasion, we will have got the horse before the cart, which quite often we don't do. And in my preparation for this sermon, I came across a beautiful line which might help our understanding as to how, by obeying that first commandment and loving God with our all, we will better love and serve others. And it goes, I could not love you as I do if I did not love God more. I could not love you as I do if I didn't love God more. I think that sums it up beautifully. But sadly, not everyone seems able to get their priorities right. Some seem to be obsessing as to what church a person attends or what style of worship is the right one. When what we need to realise and accept is that whatever denomination we usually choose to worship in and how we worship is not that important. Personally, one of my favourites is Evensong. I think it's a beautiful service. It's lovely words, and it's scriptural, as my stepson said, as sound as a pound. But it's not everyone's cup of tea. What really matters is that we don't see ourselves as primarily as Baptists, Roman Catholics, Anglicans, or any other denomination, or as followers of the Book of Common Prayer, or messy, happy, clappy church, or whatever you want to call it. That's not important. Because first and foremost, we are Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, and therefore his disciples. So, what is the Christian? Well, if we really, really do believe Jesus is who he said he was, and we are trying to follow Jesus' teaching, then we are Christians. Flawed and failing, no doubt, but nonetheless Christians. And you know, when you think about it, owning up to being flawed and failing is, in a funny way, the very first step everyone needs to make if God's grace and Jesus' sacrifice is to save us. That's the first thing we need to do, to acknowledge that we are flawed and failing. And you know, despite our sinful nature, as Christians, our heart's desire must be to tell others about Jesus and his message of salvation. Because it's sharing the good news of Jesus that makes you and me a disciple. And it's not just we as individuals who are called to discipleship. It's also each individual church or parish. Yes, even here in Stoke Poges. We are duty-bound to be primarily focused on outreach and mission. And my authority for saying that? Well, obviously, first, it's Jesus himself, whose last words before he ascended into heaven included the order, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And when he said make disciples of all nations, it also included those around us who don't yet know Jesus. And the second person I would refer to is Archbishop William Temple. Archbishop William Temple was a man generally regarded as the greatest Archbishop of Canterbury in the modern era. And he famously said, the church is the only organisation or institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members. It's not for us primarily, it's for the people who are not its members. In other words, we, the membership, have already put our trust and faith in Jesus and are ready for heaven whenever we are called. Well, I hope you are, because you never know when your moment's going to come. I could drop dead now. I hope I won't, but I could. And the acid test, the proof, the evidence that we have accepted and welcomed Jesus into our lives, well, it's when we take up our cross and follow his example and become proactive recruiting sergeants for new Christians. Please note, we are recruiting sergeants. We're not members of a press gang. We are to love people into heaven, not to try to force them to believe. Now, as a church, we have over the years been mindful of our need to be a welcoming, friendly community. Even at one stage, we're having a committee dedicated solely to improving our welcome. And usually, not always, but usually we do make visitors feel welcome, both here and in St. Giles. And of course, the spin-off to that is that we are also welcoming and friendly to each other, which is an important part of our parish life, and just as it should be. After all, if we don't feel comfortable and welcomed and wanted, how will we make visitors feel welcome and for that matter, fulfill our primary job as disciples. However, there's also a danger which we have to avoid, that we end up with a very pleasant, well-ordered social club that is very happy to welcome like-minded new members if they turn up at the door and if they fit in nicely with the rest of us and like enjoying fellowship, and when we enjoy fellowship and friendship together. And they are very welcome. But as appealing as that can sound, that's not what Jesus ordered his followers to do. Remember those words again. Go and make disciples of all nations. This was no directive to keep a welcome in the hillside. There was no order to keep the home fires burning. But to be fair, these are no instructions to stop doing these things either. Neither should there be, even Jesus had his own little close group who he knew as individuals and as friends. That's fine. However, there was and remains this straightforward instruction given to both us as individuals and to all communities of faith to go. To go and make disciples of all nations. Amen.